Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and today I am joined by Randy Andy Datzer.
Oh, hi Pete, how are you?
Hello, what's
Hello,
the
Pete.
Voice?
Oh, no, that's just my morning voice. We are recording this in the morning, therefore
that
I need
is
that.
Correct.
I'm not bad, Pete. I'm not bad. I'm off the back of a very large Harry Potter quiz, and I will be letting you know how I did in the outro. We've got some lovely emails about Snacklash, so
I'm pleased that our
new segment has hit the ground running.
Hell yeah. So yeah, stick around for the outro. We've got Datsun down to Harry Potter quiz, and we've got several emails about Snacklash. But first we should talk about SmackDown, where there's been a huge title change on the brand. Here's the show. Let's talk about SmackDown, because in the main event of this week's episode, not the go-home show, next week's episode is the go-home show for Backlash, the greatest show, we got the women's tag team title match between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Sasha Banks and Bayley. And this was set up last week, and it wasn't really mentioned that much on this show. I kind of forgot it was happening, then they were like, here's the women's tag title match. I was like, oh yeah, that is happening. Great.
It was the main event.
So, yeah, in the main event as well. And I thought that this match was really fun. I thought it was fluid. There was barely a rest hold in sight. I thought there were some really inventive spots. And I especially really liked the finish of this match. Because the match was sort of back and forth throughout anyways. But then it got towards the end. And Banks had just locked the bank statement onto Nikki Cross, but as she was getting into it, Bayley tagged herself in. So Bayley gets into the ring, and Sasha Banks is like, what are you doing? I had the bank statement in. And Bayley's like, no, I got this. But as she tries to capitalize on that and do her own bank statement, Cross counters, has a little bit of a comeback before Banks then gets involved, breaks up Nikki Cross and Bayley, drags Bayley to the corner, tags herself back in, and then does this really, really, really cool way to get into the bank statement that I've never seen before, from the apron, kind of flinging herself over the apron straight into like a roll up into the bank statement on Cross. It looked, chef's kiss, it looked so good. But then Cross even countered that bank statement, and then Banks countered the counter to roll her up to get the win. I was like, oh my God, this is great. It was a really, really good finish. And then
it was Banks counterific.
It was counterific. And Banks and Bayley celebrated, really over the top celebrations of them just running around going like, we're the champs, we're the champs, we're great, la 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 la. But it still had those seeds of dissension in there with, you know, Bayley tagging herself in and Banks being like, the hell, man, what are you doing? But then they still managed to pull out the win, and now we've got another wrinkle in this story of them being tag champs. I thought this was great.
Yeah, I mean, they've clearly been watching the show, because last week we were like, they're just doing the same thing every week. But this was something, not, I wouldn't say completely different, but it was something new. And there were definitely like more, it actually continued the story. So now they're tag champions. So they've got this whole kind of like, we're best friends. There's a bit of dissension, but also we've got these tag belts. So there's just more at stake for when one of them does eventually turn the other. And yeah, like you said, it was a really nice match. And it's amazing what happens when you give your women wrestlers. I mean, it was only 10 minutes, but 10 minutes is still five times longer than most of the matches they give their women. And actually, I'll talk about it later, but there was another women's match on this card, on this show, which I really liked as well. Because it got a bit more time. Because if you give anyone, doesn't matter who it is, if you give someone a minute and a half, they can't do anything in it. Because like at least 20 seconds of that is going to be the finish. So, but yeah, it was a really good match. And I really appreciate that they are doing something new to this. It's a shame for Cross and Bliss, but I don't really care for that act very much anymore, because all it is kind of a way to keep a moment of Bliss going. And clearly, like with Asuka, Vince appears to enjoy Nikki Cross just blurting out in the most Scottish accent possible. Not that she doesn't have a very Scottish accent, as we've seen when she tried to say support Wrestle Talk, whatever it was.
give us a subscribe.
Yeah. Give us a subscribe. Yeah, that one. But yeah, it's just a really nice way to finish the show. And I knew the match was happening, but I didn't expect it to be the main event. But it makes sense that it was the main event now.
Totally.
Especially because like the rest of the show was a good show, but it was relatively uneventful in most parts. So no, it was a really nice way to end the show. It gave the belts actually some prestige, which is something they haven't had for months. So yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I thought it was great. The match itself was really good. Like, the caliber of wrestling in the match was really good. Like I said, there was barely a rest hold anywhere. It's crazy. It's not even necessarily just about the time. But if you say, have 10 minutes and don't do a rest hold, it's going to be a really bloody good match. Because guess what? If they're not doing rest holds, they're doing spots. And spots are great. And they tell stories and they get you invested in the wrestling. It's really not that hard to figure out. I thought it was really good. And like you said, it's just another layer on the story. It's pretty much exactly as you said. Like, we were complaining they weren't doing anything new, and now they've done something new. So... It's still the same story that's being spun, but at least now it's got another layer onto it.
Hi, Vince. What you should do next week is bring back Deuce and Domino. There you go. Expect that one next week.
That's definitely going to happen. And like you said, it was a really good way to end the show. I was pleasantly surprised when that was the main event, because when the match finished, I was like, oh, cool. That was a really good match. Yeah. I was like, oh, the copyright logo's up. That was the main event. Awesome. It's like it just made it that much better, I think. And it really puts over this whole women's division of Bayley being the champ, her and Banks now holding the tag titles together as kind of this dominant unit that they are. But also there's still that tension between them. So I think it's now turning into a really, really good story. And I'm invested again in Banks and Bayley and that, because I wasn't for a little bit because they were just spinning the same plate. But yeah. I thought it was great. And, you know, props to Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross as well. They were good tag champs, and they put on one heck of a match to put over Banks and Bayley in this one, which was great.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you haven't gone over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. There's loads of extra bonus content and all sorts of great stuff. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tier, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, which gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to the Wedding Crasher, Brandon Vaughn.
Woo! Oh, yeah. The Snapdragon King, Ryo Udonte.
Woo! Thank you very much. The Jester, Ryan Kester.
Oh, woo! Wonderful. Joe.
Yes, oh, thank you. The incredible Tarzo. Yes, thank you.
Spoken class today, Jeremy Smith.
Woo, thank you. It's probably my favorite name. Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Ah, oh, amazing. Well thank done, you. Ross. The, The Machine Gun, Gregory Anderson.
Woo, yes, thank you. The Redneck, Dennis Hicks. Woo, thank you.
Golden, Nick Holden.
Woo, thank you. Never Wrong, Tyler Wright.
Ah, oh, wonderful. And finally, Leader of the Boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Woo, thank you very much. All of our pledgehammers. Elsewhere on the show, it started off with Jeff Hardy. There was a recap of the Jeff Hardy angle from last week where he did a hit and run and then was absolved of doing a hit and run because he wasn't drunk, which makes total sense. He came out and, you know, described things from his perspective, saying he pulled up at the show, and as he was getting out of his car, he got attacked by something. It was like an anvil hit him in the back of the head. And, you know, the next thing he knew, he was in a bush and he stank of alcohol and people were asking him questions and he didn't know what was going on.
Was he in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon being hit by an anvil ending up in a bush?
Surely it would have made more sense to say, you know, I was being hit by like a mallet.
Should have come out with like a big lump on his head that was just like slowly growing with stars going around his eyes.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, he was saying that, you know, he passed all the sobriety tests and came
all
back.
All of them.
All the
sobriety. Are you drunk?
Tests.
No. All right.
Well, you know, that's clear cut. Why would he lie? You know, they gave him a lift back to SmackDown, which was nice. But then they had, he said that there were eyewitnesses that said that the attacker that attacked Hardy had a red hair and a red beard. So,
do you know what? I generally
Eric
forgot.
Rowan returned.
I was
going to
say, I generally forgot about Sheamus. I went, no, they're not doing this again, are they? And then, you know, it was actually his stunt double. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then I went, oh, no, wait, that's Sheamus, isn't it? That's Sheamus.
It is Sheamus, unless it isn't. Because Sheamus came out immediately afterwards saying, like, why don't you just admit what you did? He wasn't saying, oh, you got me, it was me. It was him just saying, like, I didn't do it. Why don't you just tell people that you did it? And he was saying, don't worry about disappointing your family. They're used to it. Ooh. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a harsh line, but that's kind of cool.
He said, yeah, he said, you're not a man. You're just a junkie. So it was equally as distasteful as last week, but in a better way, weirdly.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
So like it was still very close to it was still very on the nose, but in a kind of like the lack of car this week helped, because it's like, okay, cool. So they're just gonna, that's in the past, and now they're just gonna sort of use words rather than like really quite sort of visceral action. If there's been lots of if there's been lots of eyewitnesses saying it was a man with red hair and a red beard, and then Sheamus keeps attacking Jeff Hardy, why hasn't Sheamus been at least questioned on suspicion of possibly causing this incident?
I mean,
or did he just go,
crime.
Well, I haven't had any alcohol. They're like, oh man, well, it can't have been him.
Can't have been him. Person who did it must have been drunk, because you can only be drunk when you do hit and runs.
Yes.
And
if you do
do
a hit and run.
Just to remind you.
Yeah, sorry, if you do a hit and run. Oh no, we're just going to keep talking over each other.
You go.
If you do a hit and run, make sure you drink some alcohol afterwards, because otherwise, because it's illegal not to be drunk when you do a hit and run.
That's true. Yeah, exactly.
Top tip.
So Sheamus was saying, I didn't do it, fella. And then Jeff Hardy ran out to try and assault him, and Sheamus just bro kicked him, which I thought was quite funny.
And then throwing him into the plexiglass, like
plexiglass
screens, which one of them broke. And you could see that, you could see the set designers going, oh crap.
Oh god, yeah. Which it sets up their match at Backlash, the greatest show. Which I mean, it has some stakes now. It has some kind of personal rivalry going into it, so that's good. I think they've done a good job with this story. Wasn't a huge fan of it last week. I thought this week, because like you said, it wasn't so visceral. You didn't have the imagery of Jeff Hardy acting drunk and being taken away in cuffs. Like, that wasn't so overt. It was easier to digest this week.
But speaking of digesting and stakes, Otis was up next against Baron Corbin. So Otis was backstage. Thank you. Otis was backstage, and he, for some reason, Baron Corbin's throne was just sitting there, and it had a crown on it. So Otis was just like, "Oh yeah," and then took the crown and walked off. And then Baron Corbin was very upset by this,
And he was saying, "Who took my crown?" And then he went out to go challenge Otis. This whole match was pointless.
It was completely pointless.
Yeah, because Otis and Baron Corbin had this match. It was fine. I thought Otis looked pretty good sometimes, actually getting some offense in. He did some cool like throws onto Baron Corbin, which is like impressive because Baron Corbin's pretty big. Put over Otis as like
he's nearly 6'8".
I know, yeah, nearly. And he kind of put in over kind of how strong Otis is rather than just being big comedy goof man. It was nice to see him be like, no, I can actually wrestle as well. But then Corbin went outside, tried to get his crown, and then just hit Otis with a chair, which Otis basically no-sold. And then, so it's a DQ thrown out, and then they got back in the ring, and then Otis hit him with a caterpillar. And like, so what was the point of this? This isn't a story that's being continued. This is just a match that happened, and no one won.
Yeah,
Corbin stood tall with the chair, and then Otis stood tall with a caterpillar, so nobody wins.
If you want Otis to win a match, don't do it against Baron Corbin.
Or just have him beat Corbin.
Yeah. Or just have him win clean. Because, like, I do feel like the Corbin Reign of Terror is kind of slowly losing its charm backstage, because he isn't being used as he was this time last year. Which, obviously, I mean, it's bad for him, but, I mean, for my personal enjoyment is a good thing. But yeah, it was just like, right, okay. So that was fine.
Yeah.
You could have just like added one. You could have just added 1 minute to like another three matches on the card, and that you wouldn't need to have had this segment.
Yeah, exactly. It was really short, really kind of dumb. I didn't get it. Nothing was built. Nothing got further. No one got over. It was just there. Sure, you were reminded that Otis was Mr. Money in the Bank, I guess.
Mm.
But then after that, we had the storyline, the show-long storyline, I should say, of Miz and Morrison trying to make Braun Strowman angry.
Mm.
So the reason for this is they were saying, which I liked their reasoning behind it, saying that we can make Braun Strowman mad because when he's mad, he makes way more mistakes, which means that yes. Backlash, we're way more likely going to win because Braun Strowman's going to be not thinking about what he's doing. He's going to be all angry and brr, which we've kind of seen that in the past. That's not completely unfounded, which and was solid reasoning.
It was a good idea,
mm-hmm.
but instead of being like mastermind, like sort of pranksters, what they did was they were Bart and Milhouse from the Angry Dad episode of The Simpsons, mm-hmm. Where Homer confesses that his veins are full of rage-a-hole, mm-hmm. Which is one of the best quotes from the entire, whatever, 412 million series they've got now.
Yeah.
And Braun completely just looked like a goof for most of it because all that happened was they would do a prank, for example. There you go. So the first prank was that I imagine they spiked his drink with something that made it fizz up. So I imagine it was some kind of vinegar bicarb solution thing that made it all puff up. But Braun, because his one emotion is just stood there, went, and they went, and then sort of walked off. Don't just take my word for it.
No, because now it's time for the SmackDown highlight of the week, everyone, as we get Braun Strowman's reaction to his protein shake being slightly messed with. Are you ready for this?
That's this one emotion. That's the only emotion he is able to convey on this.
Oh, it's great.
Because I get it. Like, he's just a big guy. And therefore,
big guy.
He's just a real big guy. Anyway, whatever. But then it just got more goofy and more goofy. And then it
and
ended.
Then suddenly it wasn't goofy.
It suddenly
it
was wasn't
so
goofy.
Weird.
And then it was.
And then it got goofy again.
Yeah, it went. If you haven't seen the show, Miz and Morrison are sitting in a van for the entirety of the show. What do you think happens to that van because Braun Strowman's involved, everyone?
Well,
have a guess.
Let's go through what happened for the rest of the show first, because they mess with his protein shake, and during the whole time, they're watching Braun on security cameras and stuff that they've got set
just
up in their
like,
van, and they're being proper kiddie about it, being like, oh, we got him, get these hands, more like wash these hands, etc. Being very happy about it and happy with themselves. Later on, Braun's getting interviewed by Kayla Braxton, and they're in the van going, oh, now it's time. And they press a controller, and then suddenly green slime falls from the ceiling. But they miscalculated it. They put it onto Kayla instead of Braun. So Kayla gets completely dunked in it. Some of it splashes onto Braun anyway. And then they're like, oh my God, I said put it on the left. And Morrison was like, I did put it on the left. And then he didn't, etc. Whatever. Braun gets slightly annoyed at that one. Kayla calls them bastards.
She does say bastards, doesn't she? Yeah, no, she looks like she's gone like 12 rounds with the Hulk. But she's just, she's covered in his green slime. And it was fun to see Kayla have a bit of a personality. I was like, oh, okay, Kayla's calling people bastards now.
Yeah.
It's going to be Kayla and Braun against Miz and Morrison next week, I hope.
Absolutely,
That'd be great. Because like, he wouldn't have to do much. He'd just have to do the Nicholas thing where Kayla just stands in the ring, kind of going, and then she just tags Braun in and just kills them.
Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, though, so that was really goofy because then they go, oh man, we miscalculated. Because you said left. And I was like, but that wasn't left. I was like, no, not your left. And it was like,
Goofy. But then, okay, so we've got a protein shake that bubbled over. Oh no, it got his hands in.
Oh, damn
They've
it.
They've got green slime. Oh, it's made Braun's beard a bit green because it splashed onto it. Oh, that's unfortunate. Let's go smash up Braun's car.
Yeah.
What? That's actual property damage. And they come in with a golf club and a baseball bat and just smash Braun's car, like his windshield. That's gone from 1 to 100 real fast.
Like, have you noticed that it's only baby faces who get arrested? The heels can just get away with it. In the police station, they're going, oh, well, he is a heel. So that is in his character. So it's not anything different from usual. But yeah, Miz goes, well, luckily I've been practicing my golf game, and then just smashes the window with a golf club because there's a fly on it. And then John Morrison just has a baseball bat and just smashes the rest of it. And they just walk off. Laughing, I guess.
They were being proper pricks about it as well, which I thought was quite funny. Them just being like Miz pretending to throw a ball to Morrison and him doing like a really wild swing to hit it, but of course just hitting the windshield. I thought was quite like a good kind of goofy funny, whereas the rest of the show was a bit not goofy funny. And then later on, Braun finds them in the van, and of course he tips over the van, which, you know what? I've missed this Braun because we've just got big monster Braun who goes and runs around the ring and doesn't do much else. We haven't got Braun that tips stuff over in ages, and that's really what got him over. So there's a part of me that's just going, oh, this Braun again, this is nice.
As much as I enjoy van tips and things like that, they could have put a bit more effort into it because the wire that was used to pull over the van was so visible. That it was like they didn't even attempt to make it not visible. It was just this giant wire attached to the axle underneath the car. And it was just like, we can see that. You've had 2 weeks to edit this out. And like, apparently, and like, this is a like different thing, but there's been a couple of, as we call them, wardrobe malfunctions in the past couple of weeks during a couple of matches. I won't specify it so people won't Google, and they've kept them in the show. Like, is no one watching these things back to edit them out? Like, and the wire wasn't even like they put some tape over it to hide it. It was just there. It was so lazy. Anyway, but yes, I liked it.
That aside, I enjoyed Braun flipping a thing because it's Braun flipping a thing, and that's what got him over in the first place. But yeah, he said they're dead men and he's going to see him at Backlash, the greatest show, which, you know, it's something. Their story so far has been non-existent. So it's something. They're trying to make Braun angry. Braun is being like, you can't make me angry, but in the process is getting angry. So perhaps that will play into the match somehow. I'm still into the story. I think it did okay. Could have been a little less childish for the first two, especially, but it was okay for what it was.
Yeah.
Speaking of childish, we then get an interview backstage with Shorty G. This was a massive return on this show. Just a huge return in this next segment because Shorty G was getting interviewed. And then the return of short jokes. Of Shorty G being on the receiving end of short jokes. Because Mojo Rawley came in and was just like, oh, let's talk about my pal Gronk. And I was like, he's gone from WWE. Let's not. And then he said, he got robbed of the 24/7 title, and now your interview time has been cut short. It's funny because you're short. Those are the actual words he said.
Yeah.
It's funny because you're short. I hate this with all my soul.
Why is it that you get so offended by these segments?
I don't get offended by these segments. I get offended by bad TV. Bad storytelling. It's really bad storytelling because Shorty G has not had a feud that hasn't revolved around him being short.
And also, he wins every single one of these feuds as well. So, like, if you were a heel and if you weren't an idiot, you would think, okay, I should probably stop making fun of him being short because he keeps beating up everyone who tells him he's short.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, we need a heel for this segment. Oh, Mojo, you haven't called him short yet in your pop.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, here's your 1 week push because Gronk. And then the match later was 2 minutes and it ended in a roll up or something.
It wasn't quite 2 minutes. So I actually quite enjoyed the match. But yeah, Cesaro and Nakamura were behind Shorty G in the interview. Cesaro just decks Gable and takes him straight down on the floor. New Day come in to break it up. So it's set for a six-man tag later in the night of New Day and Gable versus Cesaro, Nakamura, and Mojo Rawley, which we'll get to later. But we had another match next, which was Lacey Evans versus Sonya Deville in a rematch from last week because there wasn't a decisive winner. And there still really wasn't a decisive winner in this one, despite there being a decisive winner. So it started off really well. Sonya Deville attacking Lacey Evans before the bell, which looked really cool because she came out of absolutely nowhere, which was great. And the match itself I thought was really good. Like I said last week, I think these two have really good chemistry and they put on a really good match. They got some time and they were able to put on a really fun match. Sonya Deville looked to be in control, possibly going in for, you know, her finisher and stuff before Mandy Rose came up on the Titantron and called her out, distracted Sonya. Sonya turns around into a woman's right and Lacey gets the pin. So Lacey does get the win, but it's not super clean because there was the distraction.
So, yeah. So, parts of the match I really like where the action in general, and I love Sonya's intensity and just her moveset, which is just blossomed since she's been a single star. Like she's got these really like harsh looking moves that are completely safe, but they look like they look really painful. There was a point in the match where the referee was just replaced and it played into nothing.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It was just that he just hit his leg and he was like, oh, back off. Can you get someone else? Get some help. And then no one came out. So he was like, oh crap, that's my one line. My leg again. Oh, get some help. And then he gets replaced by Jessica Carr, who is then just the referee.
Yeah, I thought that the point of that would be that someone was going to attack the ref and they wanted it to be a lady ref for, you know, the lady match. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something to do with that, but it just didn't happen.
The only thing that happened was that Sonya used it to, like, take down Lacey.
But that was during an ad break.
But it was just a normal takedown as well.
And like
with a weapon. Yeah, it was really strange. But yeah, so the ref was replaced for no reason.
So strange.
And then it carried on. I don't know, but yeah, then Mandy Rose comes on, clearly taking tips on tanning from the president because she was luminous.
Tangoed.
She really was ridiculously orange. But anyway, I won't go on about that because I say that every week. But yeah, Evans got the women's right for the win. I don't, like, if Sonya's going to lose, it should be like with a distraction because I don't want her to win. I don't want her to lose clean. Because she's still probably my favorite women's star at the moment in WWE. I'm gonna go for it. But after that, all we had was a recap of Matt Riddle, and the entire promo was bro.
Bro. Then after that, we got Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles talking about their Intercontinental Championship match, which is next week. Reports are because it's a pre-tape match, that match is really, really good. Can't wait for that, because apparently the crowd, the hired crowd, as it were, the WWE audience, were getting a bit sluggish. And apparently that match legitimately fired them up. They were like, oh my God, this is great. So I'm hoping that it's a really good match next week.
Yeah, but I mean, the crowd is full of developmental stars, so you can imagine it. Even for them, it's like pretty cool to see like two people like Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles going at it. Like that's something you don't get to see a lot, even when you work kind of in the biz. It must have been cool to watch. Renee Young is there, so it's obvious already the best segment on the show. Brian calls AJ a coward and says that we have very different visions of what a champion is. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Oh, if I was champion, I would want to defend every week. I would have been a fighting champion. I would want to help, like, put other guys over, because there might be someone who eventually beats me, and they could become like a hero for their fans." And this quite clearly sort of riles AJ up and is like, "Oh, do you know what? All right, do you know what? I'll have a match tonight, and I'm going to have it against your mentor. I don't know how he's your mentor, but I'm going to have a match against him. I'm going to face Drew Gulak, recently re-signed Drew Gulak." Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they have a match. Now, as soon as that was announced, I was like, "Ooh."
Yeah, literally. As soon as AJ was just like, "Yeah, well, I'm going to give an opportunity to your mentor," I was like, "Oh, I'll be getting Styles versus Gulak." Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed the promo segment between these two because they're both right. Because Brian is saying, like, you know, "I'm going to be a fighting champion. I'm going to put over all these guys. Like, I want to fight my way to it." And AJ's just like, "Hey, man, but I'm just smart. I just got to the final because that's a smart thing to do. I have more chance of winning if I don't fight to get there. I'm just smart about it." And he's right. He's just right. I thought it was really good.
Then he contradicts himself by getting too cocky in the match. Pretty much.
The whole time he was just kind of taunting Brian. After every like big move he hit, he'd look at Brian on the outside and just kind of make eye contact the whole time. But it was that cockiness that cost him, because as he was setting up for the Styles Clash, he turned Gulak round so he could face Brian as he was doing the Styles Clash. But then Gulak countered that, got in a roll-up. The roll-up, by the way, looked so clean. Like, I'm not normally one to point out how great roll-ups look, but this one was really good, because he, like, flipped over him and then held his arms down as he held the bridge. So, like, in like, kayfabe, it made sense for him to win off that roll-up because he was literally pinning his hands to the ground, so he, like, couldn't get his shoulders up. It just looked really good, okay?
Yeah.
And Gulak got the roll-up victory. It was great.
Is such a slick wrestler anyway. It's not a surprise that he kind of can make even something like that just look better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was really good. I guess the next thing we had, because we had the window smash, then we had the six-man tag.
Yeah, so we had New Day and Shorty G versus Cesaro, Nakamura, and Mojo, which had a really hot start. Was Gable just runs at Cesaro and tries to do like that cannonball kick thing that he does where he does a front roll and kicks, and Cesaro just catches him, just both legs, just like, "Nope, no, you don't." I thought just straight away, I was like, "Oh, I'm so into this match already." And I thought there was some really fun offense in this as well, like Mojo Rawley pouncing Kofi Kingston and Kofi literally flying to Mars off of it. I thought was brilliant. Completely turned himself inside out and just smashed his head off the apron while he did it. I was like, "Oh, this is what a great spot." It was awesome. There was so much like fun offense in that. The commentators were really putting over Mojo Rawley's like this future star. He's got all the potential in the world to be a future champion, etc. The Shorty G hot tag was really fun. The offense that he did for that was great. And there was loads of really kind of inventive spots in the short amount of time that they had. I think it was only, you know, like 5-6 minutes. But the amount of offense they got in those 5-6 minutes was massive. And it ended with New Day picking up the pinfall onto Mojo Rawley as Gable on the outside was holding Nakamura and Cesaro as they tried to get into the ring to break it up. So kind of still furthering that feud at the same time as well. Thumbs up all round. I thought it was great.
It could have just done like, you could have taken the full 3 or 4 minutes from the Otis match and shoved them onto this one, and you could have made a really good match. But I think that's it. That's the show. Yeah. And we had the main
that,
event.
It was just the main event after that. Yeah. Overall, yeah, I thought this was a pretty good show. Shorty G getting a bit of a push is nice. Hopefully his feud just stop revolving around him.
He's
around
quite short,
him being
though.
Short. That would be great. Miz and Morrison stuff was hit and miss. But I'm more invested in the Sheamus Hardy feud for Backlash now as well. I really like the women's title stuff. Pretty much all of the matches on this card, bar Otis and Corbin, I thought were really good. They had some really fun inventive spots. The promo segments were hit and miss, but I think the actual wrestling on the show was really good. I'd have given this a low 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. High three and a half, or a low 4.
So So, Datsun, first things first, let's talk about this Harry Potter quiz that you partook in, because we actually had an email, someone emailing in about Quizlemania saying, like, oh, hey, guys, there's this quiz that I do. They do a YouTube channel. Is it Super Carlin Brothers? Is that what they're called? And I've seen a few videos from them every now and then. They seem like cool people. And he was saying that, oh, they do this Harry Potter quiz every week. Maybe you could do something like that Quizlemania at some point. So we were looking into it, and I just happened to mention in, you know, the Discord for work, I was like, oh, hey, guys, yeah, there's this software that these people use off the channel. They do a Harry Potter quiz, and Datsun was like, Harry Potter quiz? And then you entered it, it seems.
I did. So they, so they do two every week. And the idea is that they, like, live stream Kahoot on their channel, and then you play along at home.
Right.
The issue is, well, the issue is Kahoot, which is an app which can, which has a, is a history of glitching, going wrong, things like that. So in the first of the two quizzes, the, like, the fourth or fifth question came up, and it said, like, who was the first Weasley that Harry ever heard speak? And the answer is Mrs. Weasley, Molly.
Molly Weasley, yeah.
So I clicked that, and then it went wrong. And then there was just a flood of messages in the super chat going, what the hell? and then just throughout that quiz, throughout the first quiz, just things kept telling me I was wrong. And so, like, the eventual scoreboard was, like, completely messed up, and they kept they kept apologizing. But then the second one, so basically they give out the pin to the second quiz about five questions from the end. So I basically thought, you know what? There's no point in me staying in the first quiz because everything's just been screwed up. So I jumped out of that so I could join the second quiz. And I came fourth out of 2,000 people. I would have come second. I was fourth by 12 points. And when I say 12 points, each question is worth 2,000 points, depending on how quickly you answer it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but the annoying thing is, as you know, with our streams, is that they'll be reading the question, but because it's slightly delayed on my app, I won't have any of the things. So I'm just going, come on. And obviously some people will have the answers quicker than I do. Some people have it slower. And there were some of them where you could tell, I could see people, like, it shows you how many people have answered. And there was like 400 people had answered before I even saw the answers.
Yeah.
So now and then it was getting really frustrating. I don't think I would have come first because I did get one wrong. I know it was so. Basically, the question was, "What is?"
Let me see if I can get it.
Okay, what wood is the firebolt made out of?
I don't know.
See, I and almost everyone put mahogany, and then I think everyone went, "Oh no, that's the Nimbus 2000."
That's the Nimbus, yeah,
because it's ash. And so loads of people. So no one in the whole quiz got 25 out of 25, I don't think. Because I think most people tripped up on that. Or there was like Rita Skeeter's age. And I was like, so there 42? Were a couple. 43.
Oh, so close.
So there were a couple that I was like, ugh. But yeah, so I won a t-shirt.
Very nice.
And I'll be entering next week. Going for gold. But yeah, no. Basically, beforehand, all that was happening was I was getting relentlessly mocked by my lovely girlfriend because I was so nervous because I haven't done a Harry Potter quiz in so long. And like the amount I talk about it, and I was like, I'm worried, like, because I've been kind of bigging myself up to my friends. Oh, you know, I'm probably going to do quite well. I know the books pretty well. I was so I couldn't eat. I genuinely, you know, when you're nervous and you get the fight or flight in your stomach and it goes, no food or you will throw it up. I was sitting there for an hour beforehand. So it started at 9 p.m. our time. Just like sweat. I had a towel. Podcast listeners can't see this, but Pete, I had this towel to wipe my hands because I was sweating so much and I didn't want to slip and press the wrong thing.
Oh my god!
So yeah, I won a t-shirt. I'm now in. So they've got. I now follow them on. I back them on Patreon. I'm in their Discord, and I've been having a lovely time talking to my fellow dorks.
Very good.
So
that's a wholesome outcome. That
it is. Yeah, I've been having a chat with them all day about our favorite bits or our least favorite like plot holes and things like that. And they, it's nice to talk to people who appreciate how annoying it is that like Ginny's character is butchered in the films and things like that. So yeah. That was great. I'll be doing that again next week, and hopefully I can bring it home.
Yeah, that'd be great. So basically what you're saying is the SmackDown podcasts are now just going to become you talking about your previous night's Harry Potter quiz from here on out.
But only if I do well. If I don't talk about it, you know I screwed up.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
But we should get to talking about Snacklash that we introduced on last week's SmackDown podcast. If you weren't listening last week, why not, idiot? But what we did was we introduced a segment talking about the like grossest food combinations that you have that you actually enjoy, that you will stand by and say, no, this is tasty, despite all signs pointing it to it being disgusting. This was based off Datsun mixing salt and vinegar crisps with milk. You weirdo. So we've got the first one here.
I actually had that this morning.
Jesus Christ. We've got one here from Justin with the subject of the email is Smacklash. So already, great start. But also, something I should say actually before we get into it too deep is from here on out, when you're emailing in podcast stuff, you should email support@wrestletalk.com. You should not be emailing me or Andy or Ollie or anyone or Luke. Just support@wrestletalk.com, please. We want to have all your podcast correspondence over to that email address, pretty please. So the first one here from Justin says, I love to mix cake and ice cream together. Not sure if it's weird, but it tastes awesome. That's not weird.
That is disgusting. I mean, honestly, is that Justin?
Yeah, Justin.
Yeah, just insane, more like. I mean, Justin, you might as well mix cake with Marmite for all I care. I mean, ice cream, a sweet treat, and cake, a sweet treat. Are you saying that two sweet treats can go together? Justin, you're a freak. Never grace this podcast again.
Absolutely mental. Thanks for the email, Justin. We've got one here from Your Paranoia, apparently. My paranoia's emailed in.
Finally.
So this was totally out of the blue, but one time someone made me a grilled cheese sandwich and there happened to be a container of cinnamon sugar on the table. I decided to open the cinnamon and sprinkle a good amount on top of the grilled cheese and it was absolutely delicious. I highly recommend it. Much love
now
to you.
That sounds great.
That sounds pretty good, honestly.
Anything with cinnamon. I am a bit of a cinnamon stan. I'm a simp.
Cinestad.
No, I was going to say a simp, but for
cinnamon.
Oh,
yeah, okay. A simp and...
Yeah, no. I can imagine that being good. I don't know what it is. Mm. I'm like, there's something cheese, sweetness, and... Well, like, because, like, if you can kind of cut through the cheese, because then it's just like a toasted cinnamon thing.
Yeah, thing. I mean, and like, cheese can be with sweet stuff. Like cheese,
yeah, exactly. Like cheese and pears as well. Like it's a very common combination. So do you know what? That's a good one. But yeah, just be careful.
Okay.
Just be careful. You don't put ice cream with cake because you might get arrested.
Okay. So what have we got here from one from Valerie, who emails in? Oh, we've got a Datsun World problem and a Snacklash as well. So we'll do the Snacklash first. Okay. This isn't the first time I've heard of this. Doesn't make it any better. Fries, the saltier the better, dipped in chocolate milkshake.
See, I've heard of them dipped in Nutella, so like chocolate spread. Mm. And when I mentioned this new segment to my girlfriend, she said, oh, have you ever had a McDonald's fries and the McFlurry? Like people dipping them. Yeah. I was like, no, I've never had that. She said, oh, so many people. Like apparently it's a really common thing that people do. And I can kind of get that, like, obviously sweet and salt work quite well together. It's like, I mean, popcorn with chocolate and things like that. So I can see it working. I don't think I'd do it with chocolate milk. Sounds like it would be a bit soggy.
Maybe, yeah.
But you love milk. I do like
milk
and I do like salt. Good point. Yeah. No, do you know what? I've been turned.
For Valerie's quick Datsun World problem, Shima's in to say, when I go through the drive-thru and I order three meals, meaning three drinks, they then just hand me the drinks as they can clearly see I'm the only individual in the car. Then I have to ask for a cup holder. It's so annoying. Also, I'm not eating three meals by myself. That would be insane. It's for my husband, my kiddo, and myself.
Okay, I was going to say, why are you ordering three? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes that's annoying. I've got a very, very brief one myself. I woke up yesterday to buzzing, and I was like, huh? And I walked into my kitchen, and it turns out a fly got into my kitchen and laid millions of eggs, because there were hundreds of flies in my kitchen. But I have run out of Raid. But I managed
Shadow
to get
Legends.
I managed to get a bunch of them. So currently, just before this, I didn't have time, but I will be hoovering afterwards, because just next to my window, I've got quite a big back window. There are just so many corpses, fly corpses. And I will need to go back to the shop, because there are still a few stragglers who I didn't manage to poison. I don't like poisoning flies. I don't like poisoning animals. But there's sometimes just like, what else can I do?
Yeah, and there was too one. Many of them at that point.
There was one that kept flying at my face last night during my quiz, and I slapped that cow. I almost called it something else. I almost slapped that idiot. I did slap that idiot out of the air with my towel.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was so satisfied, because it was during the first quiz, which kept screwing up, and I was getting unusually frustrated.
Angry.
Yes.
We'll do one more snack lash, and then we'll end it off for today. We've got one here from Abby, who says, "Hey Pete, I would like to confirm that salt and vinegar chips, crisps for British listeners, along with Nutella, it tastes fan-frickin-tastic. I love eating these as a midnight snack. Another option is to have any chocolate-based cereal with hot milk and crisps." So what I'm saying is, Andy's got a point.
The hot milk thrown me off. Like, I get that it kind of makes, that kind of gets chocolate milk. I get that kind of, it sort of makes hot chocolate or cocoa. But
with crisps.
The first one I get, like, sort of, again, that's the same kind of thing. I think we're going to get a lot of these, like, salty chocolate mixes. And I do know people who do dip crisps into chocolate. But my only issue here, and this is, I don't know what it's, there's something about my brain, but if I then opened the jar again and there were just bits of crisp in it, I'd be like, I don't want to eat that now.
Yeah.
Right. There is something, things that, like, when I, like, if you pour, have you done that thing where you've poured a drink, you've drunk most of it, and then as you look at the bottom of the glass, you notice that the glass wasn't quite clean? I genuinely feel ill for 7 or 8 weeks after that. There is something so revolting about the idea that there has been old crusty food at the bottom of your drink, and that probably bits have been coming out into your drink and drinking it. It's got to the point where every single time I have a drink, I put my hand, because I live on my own, so I don't have to worry about germs and stuff. I put my hand into the glass and do like a sort of sweeping motion to make sure there's no just like bits stuck onto the glass, because I'm so paranoid about that it's the same thing. I don't know if it's the same thing, but like when I'm doing the washing up and in the sink, and then I'm scrubbing and then just something touches my hand, then I'm like, man, I'm not sure I can continue doing this washing up. I'm gonna have to take a break for several years,
and then
can resume. It's just something, so it just really freaks me out.
How did we get from Snacklash into more Datsun World problems?
I don't know, man. But
how,
like,
did we do that?
I know that people will appreciate, like, if you're washing up and then you just feel like a piece of, like, I don't know, pasta that you didn't manage to get off into the bin, just rub, like, caress your fingers and you just go, oh. It's like when Harry Potter puts his hand in the water to get Dumbledore some water, water in the sixth one, and then he gets, like, grabbed by an Inferius. That's the kind of thing. I mean, I'm worried that the pasta's going to grab me, pull me into the sink.
Yeah, that is totally going to happen.
That would be... I'm trying to think of a pasta pun.
Just make sure you wouldn't pass away. Anyway, let's end off the WrestleTalk podcast here. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We've got lots more Snack Clash emails that we'll get to next week. Thank you for emailing in, everyone. And remember to email in at support@wrestletalk.com, not to me or Luke or Andy or Ollie or anyone from here on out. Pretty please. Thank you. Stay tuned. We've got Takeover in Your House on Sunday. There's going to be a review of that on Monday. We're not doing live reactions for it, though, just the review on Monday. And then we're in the build to Backlash, the greatest show, next weekend. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.